Well, dear friends, you all know what are breaking news. All the time we have breaking news on the phone, on TV, and very often they are not good news. Very often when we hear these news, we think about, wow, there was a tornado, there was a cyclone, there was another shooting, now in a mosque in New Zealand. We had shootings here in the United States in the synagogue, as you remember, or in South Carolina, in Charleston, at a church some years ago. Why people are doing this? Why are people are so obsessed and filled with hate and killing other people? So the why question always comes up. I had that too in my life, thinking about the why question. I was 16, 17 years old when, I still remember when, the lady across the street came over and says, my daughter is going on a trip to Israel from the German Youth Hostel Association. You want to come too? It's an exchange with Israeli youth and German youth. And this was late 70s. So I talked to my mom and dad, and they got some more information, and they said, you want to go? And I said, I think I would like to go. That sounds exciting. Well, so I got on a plane. I don't know, we're 20-some students. And we met students our age and did an art camp together. And then one day we got on a bus and drove to Jerusalem. And there we were prepared a little bit so that it wasn't too shocking, but it was still very shocking. We visited Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. Now that was a time, and I learned in school what happened during the World War II, but seeing the pictures, seeing the stories, being in an environment where you felt like you were right there, it overwhelmed all of us. It made us think, now why did this happen? Why were people so hateful, so bad to each other? So we had many conversations with pastors, youth leaders, teachers, what their thoughts, why is it that people can do this? And many had different thoughts on that. After quite a while of reflecting and thinking, I came to the conclusion that it wasn't really God who created all the atrocities and mass killing of people, particularly the Jews, but also gypsies and people who belonged to the Socialist Party during that time in Nazi Germany. I came to the conclusion there is something in us humans that can be triggered that is evil and that makes people do things because other people said, this is what we are doing, this is now our ideology, this is the right thing, and people think they're doing the right thing. So I came to the conclusion that God is with us in our suffering, but God is not causing it. God created a world with good and evil. It's amazing to see what people can do good in this world, but then also to see what terrible things can do. Particularly in this time, reflecting, coming from Germany, having parents and grandparents who had been a part of this war, I questioned myself, what am I going to do with my life? And it was a time when people asked me if I would consider to become a pastor. This particular experience in Yad Vashem, Holocaust Museum, triggered something in me and it changed my mind, and it somehow gave me courage by saying, I want to do something in my life to share hope. I want to do something in my life to share love with people, that hope and love will rule and change the world, and not hatred. So I seriously considered first time to be really open for this endeavor, becoming a pastor. I believe and I can see signs today that God continues to work on us, to change us, to set something in our ways that will help us to change our minds and hearts so that we can see that God is working in this world to do beautiful things. Our gospel story for today shows what can happen when minds and hearts are changed. The first part of our story is about breaking news. Jesus was informed, and Jesus is sitting with them and with his people who walked with him, his disciples, and they were bringing up, Jesus, did you hear this news? What just happened in Jerusalem? People from Galilee, the area you grew up, they went there to worship, to sacrifice. They got all killed. Maybe Pilate was right behind it. So what do you think, Jesus? And Jesus said, no, they didn't sin. It wasn't their sin. It wasn't, we're bad people and God is punishing. It had nothing to do with this. And then Jesus says, do you think that these 18 people, so he added some other news, that these 18 people just a few weeks ago who were in Jerusalem and the Temple of Siloam broke down and they all, do you think that's their sin? They were bigger offender than anybody else. I tell you, it has nothing to do with their sin. Jesus wasn't into to bring comfort to them, but challenged them by saying, you guys need to change your mind. You need to repent. And when he talks about repentance, this is the point of turning and changing your thinking and thinking about what God wants you to do in your life. So here, Jesus is telling them about a tree now by saying, look, it's really about repentance. It's really about turning your life around and focusing on God. He shares the story about this tree, this fig tree. And this landowner who owns a vineyard, and everybody nodded because they know how important vineyards are for wine and for grapes. Well, he came and had many trees. There was one tree that did not bear fruit. And there's a fig tree. And he says, well, we don't need trees that have no worth, so cut it off and maybe we plant something. And the gardener said, wait a minute, I got an idea. Just give me another year. And it was actually, and this is interesting, so between the line, the guy showed up 3 years, repeatedly, 3 years to check on the tree. So how long did Jesus do ministry? 3 years. You see the connection? And then the guy said, give me one more year, one more year, I will turn this around. Okay, what are you going to do? Well, I put manure, I do everything I can. I dig and make more air, whatever it takes. So Jesus' point here is, God is not done working in our lives. God is not done to help us to create fruit in our lives. Think about now who is in this parable. It seems that the landowner might be God. God as the creator who owns everything and wants to see fruit born from his creation. And then God gave us human land with trees, plants, water, and sun, and everything we need to cultivate a great harvest. And Jesus might be the gardener who is going to do everything possible to help this tree, to help us to live and bear fruit. He's going to work on the soil to loosen it up and to fertilize the ground so that it can grow. He's willing to get his hands dirty, get his hands into the ground. What is Jesus saying here is that he's going to work on our hearts. He's going to work and change our hearts, our minds. If there's any darkness, any hatred, any heavy thoughts, I'm going to help you. Because if you have that, you're not going to have fruit in your life. So what is it that we can do? Just think about a person in your life who is hard to love, because that person might be filled with some hate in her or his heart. Are we willing to reach out again and again? Are we participating in the life of our faith community, of sharing our God's given gifts by welcoming, by attending one of our book studies on the purpose-driven life? We have two this morning. One is meeting now and one a little later at 10:30. Are we willing to be a part of our altar guild, our caring place? Last night when I shared the story, a lady came up after service and said, I want to volunteer at the caring place. How beautiful. Are we letting other people know what God is doing in our lives as we live the purpose God has given for our lives? Now, all these questions are digging in our minds and hearts to move us towards repentance, to change us so that we do what God wants us to do. The ultimate sign of change is that we act, not just think and feel differently, but that we act and do something and change the environment around us. I learned about a woman who was all about action. She passed away a few weeks ago, and I was asked to officiate at her service. I never met her in person, but I met family members and spent time with them and asked a lot of questions. What I learned was powerful. An incredible lady. Her name is Shirley Ketter. When she was in her 20s, she and her husband had a son, 5 years old. She got a phone call. Her husband got a heart attack and died. She was in her 20s, now a single mom, just moved out to Itasca. Now what? Her husband worked, main provider, so she got a job. Worked. She got a little better job. Worked hard. The family came together, support her. She didn't have to sell the house. Could stay there, raise her son. Well, then she wanted to do something good for her community, Itasca. So there was an opening to become a trustee at the village board in Itasca. So she said, well, maybe they take me. Well, they took her. At the time, she was on the village board doing good things, voting. The mayor at the time, his name was Mayor Wesley Usher, also suddenly, late 50s, died. Now, they ask her, Shirley Ketter, if she would become interim mayor. Well, if you have trust in me, I'm stepping in. There is a need. Okay, I try. So she did. They liked her so much that when the time came to vote for a new mayor, they voted her to be the mayor of Itasca. 24 years she was mayor of Itasca. She developed the Usher Park, Hamilton Lakes, the Nature Center. She helped to plan the Hamilton Lakes Business Park south of Devon Avenue. Mayor Ketter helped to develop the volunteer police department into a professional police department, and she started a senior program in Itasca. Former Mayor Gruber said, Mayor Ketter brought out the best in people. She leaves a beautiful legacy for that. We are forever grateful. If there is a mayor in heaven, it will be Shirley. Now, Mayor Ketter's special gift was to help people to live out their best. She opened many people's mind about what they can do in their lives. She encouraged her son to become a lawyer. She encouraged her niece to become a nurse. She encouraged her other niece to become a clerk in Itasca, the village board, and her grandchildren. She encouraged. She always saw the best. She was able to work with all people from different political views and parties to see the common good. She was a person who could bring people together. She left a legacy. She was a person all about action, and very important, all this was driving her faith in God. Active member in her church, part of the She was Bible study leader, she was on finance committee, she was very active, and her faith drove her to actions to create a difference in her community. Now today, Jesus is challenging each one of us to be open to have our minds and our hearts changed, to turn our lives into action for the purpose that God has in mind for us. So here is an example of how you and I can turn faith into action. You are one of the first one who hear about the new thing we would like to do. It happened in council, in one of our last council meetings, that all of a sudden a spark was there. A light bulb went on. And an idea was created. It doesn't happen always on council. Sometimes it happens in a different corner. But here it did. I'll show you. We even have a poster. Going to be called Chat and Chew. Now, what is Chat and Chew? Well, here we will have a host who will invite some neighbors, old and new friends, to come to her or his home for a meal. Each person who comes is invited to bring some food, like potluck style. And then a meal is shared. Now, one person who has the gift will be the conversation leader of some good questions and a topic to discuss during dinner or after dinner. The goal is to have a good time, to eat together, become friends, and have an interesting conversation about faith, about God and life. The group leaves with a new date in mind and a place to meet. Guess what? The first Christians, first and second century, started out with a meal. They came together and says, you hungry? Yeah, we have some food. Didn't Jesus say whenever we gather in his name to share a meal and remember him? Let's do this. And then what about, did you see God today when you worked out in the fields? Was there anything that was a God sight? Did anybody help you or smiled at you? Oh yeah, I have a story. Let me tell you. Wow. So they build each other up. That's how it started. And then it was all about, are we willing to share the gifts we have that God gave us with each other? Now this meal gathering where we chat and chew will help us to bear fruit, fruit of love for each other, fruit of joy and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus promised to provide the fertilizer that our time together will be meaningful, and we will grow in our love for each other and for God. There will be more information. Stay put. Years later, I got back to Israel. When you're back in Israel, they always bring you back to Yad Vashem. Now something changed. On the way to Yad Vashem, the street were different than when I was there in the late 70s. Take a look. There were trees planted on the street to the museum, to the Holocaust Memorial. And they had name tags on it, so I asked the tour guide, oh, that's nice, nice trees. They were not here a few years. Yeah, they were not here. They're new, planted. And they have named, oh, these are the people who donated the trees, right? No, they didn't donate the trees. These people, we call them the righteous, who helped a Jewish family or an individual to survive the Holocaust. They took them in. They were hiding them in their basements or attic or whatever they needed to do. They risked their own life for another person. Didn't you say you come from Frankfurt? I said, yeah, yeah. Well, there is a plaque from a guy who lived in Frankfurt. I said, who is this? Well, his name is Oskar Schindler. You heard of him? I said, no, it was before the movie was out. And so, well, he's from Frankfurt. He did good things. So here we are. It is all about how we live our lives, how we bear fruits, how we make a difference, how we use the gifts God gave us. And it is not just here at church we are bearing fruit, at home, at your work, wherever you are, God wants you to bear fruit. I leave you with this powerful image of these trees of life who bore the fruits of compassion, of love and life. May God change our minds and help us to bear fruits with how we choose to act and how we choose to live today and tomorrow. Lord God, I thank you for giving us more time. We have more time. Someone was asking for more time. And we do have more time to change our minds and our hearts and our directions and our soul. Please nurture us so that we all can bear fruits in our lives of service and compassion for others, so that we can make your name known. Inspire us to action and ministry. In your holy name we pray. Amen.